Hello and welcome to this service of the word coming to you from North Nibley St. Martin's Church on this Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. I'm currently not with you. I'm sat on a push bike cycling to France, but it's nice to be with you in spirit. And Pentecost is all about the Holy Spirit, so it's quite appropriate. The Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus said, before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled. As brother and sisters in God's family, we come together to ask our Father for forgiveness. Together we pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and for ever. Amen. The collect for today, that special prayer for Pentecost. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love and renew the face of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading is from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Egypt and parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some of them, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here endeth the reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John chapter 10, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of God. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love the story of Pentecost. It's dramatic, it's full of energy, excitement and vitality. It plays into our desire to enjoy and believe in the fantastical. It's wonderful drama. However, the challenge is to take the words out of the text and allow them to breathe into the here and now. Yes, we as a church community need to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. So what is the job of the Holy Spirit? One popular way of thinking about the Holy Spirit is as a sustaining form of God. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are equipped to keep telling the Christian story. Salvation's story. The Holy Spirit, if we are open to him, and that's the key, if we are open to him, gives us the right words to say in the right time, in the right way, and I personally know that to be true. The Holy Spirit is that impulse or energy within us that allows us to tell the Jesus story in myriad different ways or different tongues to different people. And just for a moment, let's pause and consider this. Right at the start of the Gospels, it is clear that Jesus has come for all people in all nations. Simeon makes this clear through the words of the Nunc Dimittis, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of the people Israel." So everyone is covered, Jews, non-Jews, everyone. Pentecost, in all its multilingual vibrancy, is the proof of this. Pentecost is the seal of God's pledge that salvation's story is the universal story. In the Gospel reading, we hear that the work of the Spirit is to lead us into all truth. The greatest truth is the universality of the Gospel. As Christians, we need to be open to this Pentecostal truth. And the only way we can do this is by opening ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. The way we do this is by prayer, and maybe in particular, praying with others. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were all together in one place, and presumably they were praying, as they had earlier been instructed to do. I suspect that they were praying in a spirit of openness to God, but I also suspect that they must have been ever so slightly anxious and scared. They had, after all, been through the most bizarre of sequential experiences. Their Lord had been betrayed, tried, crucified, and then he had been resurrected. In the period between the resurrection and the ascension, he appears to his disciples, feeds them, breathes on them, challenges them, and then disappears again from them. But the disciples, despite all this, hang on in there and keep saying their prayers. Pentecost is in some ways God's way of answering their prayers. Pentecost is not a divine imposition. It is not a rule like you've got to pay your taxes. It's the fulfillment of a divine promise from God. I will send you another advocate. Just like the early disciples, we too can be recipients of the divine promise. We too can receive a fresh anointing to the Holy Spirit. The purpose of such an anointing is to lead us into all truth and to help us. That's what we are here for. To tell the universal and radically inclusive salvation story through the Holy Spirit to all people in ways which they can understand and relate to. I didn't understand that until I discovered the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit into my life. I've been preaching for getting on for 23 years now. And the stumbling block that I keep coming across is people having difficulty with inclusivity. Yes, everyone includes from saints to robbers, murderers and sex offenders. Everyone are open to the Holy Spirit if only they would turn to Christ. That's what Simeon was getting at. Jesus has come for all people in all nations. Remember that God's judgment and forgiveness is a lot more than human punishment. We are not required to judge other than in courts of law where we dish out punishment. God's judgment is totally different and based on love and is carried out by God alone. So open your hearts to the Lord this Pentecost. Amen. Let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us and rose again? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? I believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So let us pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And now we come to our prayers for the world. And so on this Sunday of Pentecost, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead your church back into full visible unity. We pray for those people who have difficulty with the mainstream concepts of Anglicanism. And we just pray that there's going to be some unity across our church within the Anglican world. And we pray for all those people who work on ecumenical relations. And we pray for the theologians and the bishops who try to untangle the difficult issues that face the modern church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, might lead the church into holiness and to fill each one of us that go to your church and impart our members of your church to be filled with the vision, your vision, and filled with the spirit and energy to go and actually start acting out your vision for your church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who exercise ministry in the church, for ordained people, those who are being ordained deacon and priest around this time of year. We pray for all those who teach and prophecy, those who pray, those who organise and administer, and those who steward our resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday that we might notice what God's Holy Spirit is doing in our own parish and benefice and our community. And we pray that we might humbly join in with what your Holy Spirit is doing. Heavenly Father, accept these prayers for the sake of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, we repeat the prayer that we heard in one of the readings. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.